Hi, this is Bennett. Earlier this year, the UN published its IPCC report on global warming. And there have been enough scientists around the globe who have consensed on this that it was considered worth putting out a position paper on it. Now, there are really three kinds of people when it comes to the global warming things. There are the global warming alarmists who figure that if we don't do something right now, we're going to all be dead in 25 years or something like that, which is probably not true. There are the true global warming skeptics who accept that science has come to a consensus on this, are not worried or alarmist in their approach, and are watching to see what can be done, and know that there is a human factor all involved. Third, and this is what's different from other phenomena that have skeptics and such, there are the global warming deniers, who under no circumstances will accept the concept that humans have any kind of effect on the environment at all. And there are multiple reasons why they would have this denying philosophy, but what the heck. Now, I bring this up because you'll see on television or you'll read in Sunday supplements or in the newspapers that there are still heavy global warming skeptics. And that mean and they will specifically call Al Gore a liar and say that he's made all kinds of mistakes and all this. And I just want to state that there's a reason why it's called consensus, and there's a reason why it's about science. It's not, you know, when you see some guy on television who's called an expert who says there's no global warming going on. He says that people are going to be disappointed when the world doesn't come to an end. All these people have to do is get published in a peer-reviewed journal. If they have such information that proves that the consensus of thousands of scientists is wrong, then they should publish. It means nothing when you see some guy sitting on a TV show saying they're all wrong, or you read in the newspaper or in a magazine. I just want to state that clearly, because when they go in the public forum and state that, And we have people like John Stossel say, who are going, give me a break. These people who are saying these things are not really contributing science. They're not really contributing to the matter. They're just throwing their opinions around. If their opinions are valid, then they should publish research that supports their opinion. That's all. That's all I'm saying, because there really are thousands of papers by scientists who see the effect that's going on. And I just got to state, we've got to learn to be reasonable and to stop listening to people when they're not really doing what they claim that they're doing. Okay? Because, you know, Kill Radio is full of opinions, and left-wing radio is full of opinions, and right-wing radio is full of opinions. But you got to be reasonable. And that's what I'm talking about here. Okay, that out of the way. This is the Weekly News and Review posted on Tuesday, November 27th, 2007, by Christian Lorentzen on the Harpers.org website. I'm Bennett, your faithless host from Kill Radio. And I want to share this with you because it kind of helps summarize the recent news. Okay, ready to listen? This is the news of the past week. Let me clear my throat. Teams of biologists in Japan and Wisconsin discovered new methods for transforming human skin cells into, quote, induced pluripotent stem cells. Both techniques employ a retrovirus to inject the cells with four master regulator genes that reprogram the cell's function. The Wisconsin team, directed by James A. Thompson, who pioneered the harvesting of embryonic stem cells, called its skin cells culled its skin cells from foreskins. The Japanese team conducted their preliminary research on mice with a cancer gene among the regulators and created in the process a mischief of clone mice, 20% of which developed cancer. President G.W. Bush was said to be very pleased that the innovation might render the use of embryonic stem cells obsolete. But critics said, of course, it was too soon to tell whether the synthesized stem cells would prove as versatile as those from embryos. An American nuclear scientist projected that the number of deaths caused by depleted uranium in ammunition fired on Iraq would exceed those caused by the bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. "The environment is now completely radioactive," said Lauren Moray. "The genetic future of the Iraqi people, for the most part, is destroyed." Well, that's a new thing. Isn't that interesting? And if it's fired, if it's ammunition fired on Iraq, that means it's from the insurgents from outside of Iraq? Or are Americans shooting radiated bullets? I don't know. Time will tell. But this sounds like an alarmist thing to state. Who knows? Ian Smith, the Rhodesian prime minister who promised 1,000 years of white rule in Africa, died. And authorities in Zimbabwe were arresting satirists. Would I be considered a satirist? Australian voters elected the Labour Party's Kevin Rudd prime minister, replacing Conservative John Howard, a Bush ally, who failed to retain his own seat in Parliament. Rudd, who has been videotaped eating his own earwax, said he would push for Australia to ratify the Kyoto Protocol on climate change, leaving the United States the lone holdout. Now, let's state also that really what the Kyoto Protocols and what the whole idea about global change is doing is that all we have to do is just take some measures to prepare for the future. It's not like we need to be in a panic about it, but it's like, let's think of the future. Because people like George Bush are not thinking of the future. For some reason, they're stuck right now, and they don't think of what it's going to be like in 50 or 100 years. They think it'll always be the same. And that's a very conservative viewpoint in a world that is flush with change all the time. I mean, things have changed. Whole villages, whole parts of the world that have been the same for thousands of years have changed radically in the past 100. And it affects the human occupants of those regions. And it's direct and it's real. So, you know, let's just think about it. That's all, and move ahead. Oh, 14,000 refugees fled wildfires in Malibu. And the British government admitted that it had lost computer disks containing the personal information of more than one-third of its citizens. So now a third of the British citizens have their information in cyberspace? Meanwhile, exiled Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif returned to Pakistan. "I have come," he said, "to save this country." There was a power vacuum in Lebanon after the parliament failed to elect a new president. And in Annapolis, Maryland, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice convened a meeting of the Middle Eastern leaders, excluding Iran and Hamas, which controls the Gaza Strip. "We must not view Annapolis as a failure," Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak said before the summit started. "Nothing good will come out of it," said Reham Abu Qatar, a 17-year-old Gazan woman attending a protest march. "Good will only come from the language of fighting and from force." If we had that over here, good would only come if we force people to change their minds. Hamas pledged to pack more explosives in its homemade rockets, and Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, I always have problems with that word, said participation in this summit is an indication of the lack of intelligence of some so-called politicians, but we can't take him seriously. The Interfaith Rainbow Coalition Against Homosexuality in Uganda protested a summit of British Commonwealth leaders in Kampala. I asked President Museveni to get us an island on Lake Victoria, and we take these homosexuals and they die out there, said Sheikh Ramathan Shaban Mubaje of an earlier meeting he had with Uganda's head of state. If they die there, then we shall have no more homosexuals in this country. Because don't you know, once a homosexual is dead, there aren't any more. Huh? Former White House spokesman Scott McClellan released an excerpt of his forthcoming memoir. Isn't that great? You know, every time somebody leaves the Bush White House, they come out with a book revealing how shitty things were there. The passage states that he unknowingly lied when he denied that White House aides Karl Rove and I. Lewis Scooter Libby participated in the outing of CIA agent Valerie Plame. We knew that! McClellan vaguely confesses that Rove Libby, the vice president, i.e. Dick Cheney, the president's chief of staff, i.e. Andrew Card, and the president himself were involved in his relaying false information. But, of course, he stopped short of saying that Bush and Cheney knew they were telling him to lie. Al Gore visited the White House. I guess he and GW are now good pals. And amateur investigators in Russia found the charred bones of two teenage children of Tsar Nicholas II, murdered along with their mother, father, and three siblings by Bolshevik agents in 1918, dispelling the rumor that a Romanov prince or princess had escaped execution. So finally the Anastasia rumor is laid to rest. Abraham Bolden, a former Secret Service agent, told reporters that a plot by Cuban exiles to kill President John F. Kennedy in Chicago was uncovered 3 weeks before his assassination in Dallas. The would-be assailants, who had allegedly rented a motel room overlooking Kennedy's motorcade route and were said to possess automatic rifles with telescopic sights, were never caught. And the investigation, Bolden claimed, was covered up. Now, the fact is that I knew about this. So if this is a new discovery, why did I know about this 15 years ago? Kennedy's 86-year-old sister, Eunice, was hospitalized with an undisclosed illness. And UNAIDS, the United Nations agency that fights AIDS, lowered its estimate of the number of people infected with the disease worldwide from 39.5 million to 33.2 million. Armin Muse, a convicted German cannibal, was elected leader of his prison's Green Party chapter and announced that he had become a vegetarian. Citing Schrodinger's cat, cosmologists speculated that humans' observation of dark matter beginning in 1998 might bring about the premature destruction of the universe. Wow, you really do want to look there. The links up on this. If you want to get a little further information about any of these stories, you can go to the harpers.org website and look up the weekly news and review. In the meantime, that's it for now. Remember, things really are real. At least I think they are. This is Bennett for the weekly news and review, Kill Radio, and Harpers saying, go away. Don't bother me.